Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Like, it's a little too coincidental.
And it's almost too much of a perfect murder if you think about it, because it's like, ah, it's Garth Brooks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Time in the Delulu Canoe. The river is frozen over, so we're just scraping our way down the river. And joining me for our carols, well, and for this entire episode, is Cosmo from the Cosmo Network.
Hey, so Mariah Carey's out. Okay, she's out. She's unfrozen. And the song's everywhere.
Yeah?
Yes.
It's time.
Seriously, right after October 31st, Christmas.
She defrosted. She's already out. Yeah. Speaking of us being like out and about, how have you been feeling? Like, I know we're just kind of getting over a cold. It's not been great for us, but how you doing?
Horrible.
No, really?
Horrible. There's a lot going on work-wise, and then YouTube stuff, and then just all in just not stressed, but just a little... I don't know. Overwhelmed.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot right now. There's a lot happening.
It's a lot happening, especially for the like November and December. You would think, right? But you know, freaking November, I had like, you know, the Christmas Carol thing that's coming up again, another red carpet event where I get to interview some of the people, some of the actors are just reading the Christmas Carol. It's like my third year doing it.
Amazing.
Got invited to do it again. And then there's Fan Expo in San Francisco, and then season two of Cosmo Show, and then those other shows I'm trying to work on and whatnot, and then t-shirts and merchandise. But there's a lot going on, and now December, there's more.
Yeah.
So it's just like, let's just get through this.
'Tis the season.
And like, you know, maybe have a New Year resolution.
Yeah, I'm already starting on my New Year's resolution.
Really?
So I get, yeah. Nice. Just because I usually get like very reflective around November. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like look back at the year and scrolling through my camera roll, because unfortunately on my iPhone, I'm already out of room. So
wow.
I had to go back through and like delete and remove things. And it makes me like look back and then kind of already plan my vision board for next year. So I've already got that kind of cooking up. So I feel that, the looking back and the wanting to.
Kind of, I looked at my vision board like not too long ago, and I'm like, oh crap, there's things that I forgot.
Right.
To focus on and manifest, because it just works. And I work at a sports bar, so people don't know, and it's just sports season.
Yeah.
All over the place. And the Dodgers won, and that was nuts. Nuts. Anyways. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to starting January with a whole new bang and outlook.
Clean slate.
Clean slate, yeah.
But we still got the Christmas season to enjoy and indulge.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you watching at home or listening, wherever you listen to us, did you know Christmas, the season, is also a little spooky? Ooh, you know, like you think about all the Christmas stories you read as a kid.
Yeah.
They're not just like holly jolly Santa Claus gives me stuff. It can be a little spooky.
Yeah.
So I thought, why not start December off by being spooky and bring, you know, some spooky stories to share.
Like
some true crime, interesting stories that we found on the internet to share with you.
Ooh.
Although
this is a twofer sort, true crime.
Yeah,
because you're usually in this chair looking like all nice and dark and creepy with a voice. And it looks pretty cool. I love your true crime.
Thanks. Yeah. I like doing it. It's a lot of work, to be honest, which is why this time I was like, you can help me fill 45 minutes, because I usually only can fill like 20 minutes.
Really?
With a true crime. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think I just talk fast.
Yeah.
So it's like even today I've got two pages, and I imagine I'll read through this and we'll probably be able to milk it to like 25, 26 minutes.
Really?
But I have some like insert pause here moments. So
gotcha. I've got one from Wikipedia that I reached out and asked Chrissy, because, you know, Chrissy's all about the true crime stuff in the podcast. Yeah. She sent me one. I was like, all right, cool. And I'm like, it's a Wikipedia.
Okay.
And it's not bad. It's kind of short. It's got what I love about the Wikipedia, that has everything that you need, like background, incident, further investigation, legal actions, media coverage, all kinds of cool stuff and references and whatnot.
Wow. Yeah. Wikipedia is really great, but also scary, because people can write whatever they want.
This is very true.
But
I feel like this is...
I feel think you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to start with yours and
set the mood? Okay. This one's actually really quite mind-boggling.
Ooh.
All right. It's called The Death of Ellen Greenberg.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never heard of her.
Well, she was born in 1983 in June, and she died 2011.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Here we go. Ellen Ray Greenberg was an American woman who died after sustaining 20 stab wounds. Her death was officially ruled as a suicide, despite the 20 stab wounds, 10 in her neck, all right,
what?
And 11 bruises, sparking extensive debates as to whether the cause of death was actually homicide. They ruled it as a suicide. 20 stab wounds.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
What? I'm curious to hear the placement, but yeah, that's okay. A choice.
Yeah.
In 2011?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Continue.
The mysterious circumstances surrounding the manner of the death has prompted significant, like, political activity, legal actions, and global media coverage, because it's like, what? 20 stab wounds. In the neck. It's absolutely crazy. Hold on. Let me get to the rest of this.
You're good. Yeah, that is
so
interesting.
Josh and Sandy Greenberg, okay? Those are her parents.
Mm, okay.
Hold on. Let me just make sure I'm reading this. This is all in Philadelphia, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Promoting Greenberg to leave work. Okay, so... On January 26, 2011, a blizzard hit Philadelphia, prompting Greenberg to leave work and return to her apartment at approximately 6:40 p.m. Greenberg was pronounced dead as a result of 20 stab wounds, including 10 to her back and neck.
Her back?
And neck.
How would she have... Oh, okay.
There were also 11 bruises in various stages of resolution on her right arm, abdomen, and right leg.
What does that mean? Stages of resolution?
Yeah, like, I guess resolving? Yeah.
What does that mean?
Various stages of resolution.
Is that like a dirty joke? Hang on, let me look this up. What?
That'd be cool.
What does stages of resolution mean? Stages of resolution refers to the distinct phases a process, conflict, or problem moves through until a solution or conclusion is reached. That doesn't...
Right? Like this whole murder. Not even murder. They're calling it a suicide. But according to the investigation report, Greenberg's body was discovered by her fiancé.
Oh.
Samuel Goldberg, that's his name, okay?
Okay.
Who returned from a gym, like, after working out, to find their apartment door secured with a swing latch and knocked it down after unsuccessfully trying to reach her. Goldberg subsequently called 911, stating that Greenberg stabbed herself and fell on a knife.
So the husband said that?
Yeah, so...
Or the fiancé, sorry.
This is according to the investigation. So he comes home from the gym... Finds the door locked, the latch, deadbolt, and everything like that from the inside. And he had to bust it down.
Oh.
He had to bust it down and then actually get in and then call 911. Saying that she fell on the knife.
11 times?
20.
20 times?
With 11 bruises, yeah. The crime scene was initially treated as a suicide by the police investigators. But after the autopsy, the Philadelphia Medical Examiner Office ruled the case as a homicide.
Okay.
After investigation from the medical. It's just crazy. Anyways, the next day, the Philadelphia Police Department deferred what conclusion, saying the death of Ellen Greenberg was not to be ruled as a homicide. It's a suicide.
What?
Homicide investigators are considering the manner of death as suspicious as the time. At this time, the medical examiner office changed its conclusion, saying in February the death was a suicide. So there's a huge giant conflict between the medical examiner, examiner saying it's not a suicide, it's a homicide. Mm-hmm. And with the police department saying, no, it's a suicide.
Oh my gosh. That's interesting that the two different parties would get into such a, like, one way or the other with this case when... Right. It sounds to me like the police know something or trying to hide something.
Well, check this out. The apartment was cleaned and sanitized on January 27th after permission to do so was given from the police.
See, I think okay. I want to know, here's my theory on this. What does the fiance, does he have ties to the police department?
Oh, check this out. All right.
Uh-oh.
So James Schwartzman, Samuel, that's the fiance.
Okay.
Uncle. And the chairman of Pennsylvania Judicial Conduct Board in Pennsylvania. They're related. So James Schwartzman, let's just call him James. These names, last names are crazy.
Last names are weird.
James and Samuel, they're related. This is James's uncle, the fiance's uncle.
Okay, which one is the uncle and which one's the fiance?
James is the
fiance?
Is the uncle. Okay. Samuel Goldberg is the fiance, the one that came home and found the door.
So James is the uncle. Yeah. Got it.
So he's on the Pennsylvania Judicial Conduct Board in Pennsylvania. Also entered the apartment. So this guy entered the apartment, this uncle.
Sure, yeah.
Under apartment that so that day when it was being all sanitized and cleaned down, on that day he retrieved the uncle work and personal laptops, phones, and credit cards belonging to both Goldberg and Greenberg, which is basically James and Ellen. Police returned to the scene on January 27th or 28th after gaining a search warrant. So the search warrant was issued on the 28th. And on the 27th, the day before, James's uncle came in and grabbed all of the personal stuff.
Yeah. Something's looking fishy here. Right?
So
that fiance.
It gets even more crazier. In the early 2018, the Office of Pennsylvania Attorney General Joseph took over the case. And in 2019, she died in 2011. This has been going on since then. This is ridiculous. In 2019, a spokesperson for Shaparo, that's the Josh Shaparo, he's like the attorney general. In 2019, a spokesman for, let's just call him fucking Josh there. These names are crazy. 2019, a spokesman for James stated that the computer searches made on Ellen's computer pointed towards Greenberg's death being a suicide. So basically, after the search warrant, they grabbed all the stuff. There was stuff on the laptops and stuff like that indicated that it's a suicide, like a
note. Like she had looked up, you know, like how to.
Yeah.
Which, like, we don't know if she did or if it's the uncle that just, like, typed up these search inquiries.
Right. So at that point, the death being a suicide and the investigation had been closed.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
So they just called it a suicide?
Legal representation of the Greenberg's families, of Emily's family, disputes such evidence on the laptop, stating that it's undisputed that Samuel, Goldberg's uncle James, took possession of Ellen's iPhone and two computers, breaking the chain of custody. The Philadelphia police had also sent Ellen Greenberg's computer to Philadelphia's Regional Computer Forensic Laboratory for a forensic examination. That's just a lot of, like, CSI.
Yeah, they just went in, they took the stuff, they got sent here. Yeah. Okay.
I was just my place when I'm, like, looking away from reading.
That's okay.
I don't see how people do that, man, when they're giving speeches, they're reading something, and then they look up, and they go back. I'm like, how do you find your place again? Crazy.
I have a hack for that, but we can talk about that later.
Ooh, okay, cool. The finger trick. Oh.
I do it a lot in public speaking where I put my finger where I left off and I make eye contact and then I look back. I got you.
Okay. So the Philadelphia Police Department had also computers to blah, blah, blah. Yeah. For the forensic examination. And a police document later summarized the findings keyword searches were done on every computer searching for suicide information, and examinations did not reveal any remarkable facts.
Okay.
During the multi-year period in which Pennsylvania Attorney General Office had control over the case, Greenberg's family legal team provided them with a significant volume of over 10 gigabytes of new evidence, including detailed forensic files, medical findings, 3D stab wounds, analysis of each, the 20 strikes that Ellen suffered, and lengthy disposition of three Philadelphia medical examiner's officials on whom Ellen was likely already dead when on those stab wounds occurred. So she was already dead when they occurred. So, you know, when you die, the blood gets to like some kind of rigor mortis where if you stab afterwards, they can tell if you were stabbed before or after. It's kind of like when somebody is found in the lake.
Uh-huh.
They can tell if they drown in the lake because there's no water or seawater in the lungs. It's like that. So it's pretty crazy.
So then... Interesting. So there, with that finding, what were the other damages on her body? She was bruised.
She was bruised 11 times.
Right. Like around her neck.
Yeah. Legs and abdomen.
Okay. So, I mean, we probably what they're trying to allude at or get at is like she was probably killed in a different way, like strangulation or like, you know, head trauma or something. And then the person, just to make sure the job was done, stabbed her.
Yeah. And the back and then
that. Yeah. And like, which she couldn't obviously have done if it was a suicide, because she would have already been dead. So,
let's
look at me. I'm a detective.
Hell yeah, you are. So it's still going on.
There's more.
In July 2022, the internet community uncovered relationships between Josh Saparo, the district attorney guy.
Uh-huh.
And the family, so Samuel Goldberg, which is the fiance.
Which, yeah, makes sense.
Samuel and James, the uncle and the fiance, prompting the attorney general's office to send the case to Chester County, Pennsylvania District Attorney's Office to avoid appearance of conflict.
Yeah, conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see, blah, 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 blah. So now it's off into another... Attorney announced the investigation with inactive, citing an independent forensic expert with an undergraduate degree. So the experts in the beginning of the case, they're undergraduates.
Okay.
Which widely criticized by Greensburg's legal team and the true crime community. So it's still going on. Or it's still not solved.
Yeah. So there's still, I think the biggest thing that like the Wikipedia may have missed, or maybe you just, it's further down, is like, what is the motivation? Was she wealthy? Was she, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I guess we would have to look more into her to kind of figure that out.
Ooh, that's a lot.
You know what I mean?
I looked into further investigations and there's a lot.
Like, did she own a boat? Did the man want her boat? You know what I mean?
Right.
Cause like otherwise it just kind of sounds like,
but it's like at first when you walk into a crime scene and you see 20 stab wounds, neck and back and with bruises, how do you come up with suicide?
Yeah. The police clearly are not doing their jobs.
They're basically on James's side.
Which is corruption.
Yeah, there's so much. And then legal actions and media coverage. There's a lot to go into it. So I suggest anybody at home that's interested, check out the death of Ellen Greenberg, because it gets really interesting. It sparks extensive debates.
Yeah.
So, it's crazy.
Yeah, that was fascinating, because I definitely want to look up more and try to figure out like...
Yeah.
I predicted it before I even read it, that I was like, wait, who is he affiliated to? But like, it would be interesting to try to pinpoint a motive.
Right.
Because it's super easy for us to look at him and be like, that guy did it. But like, why? Like, I think the police should, instead of be looking up and seeing like, oh, she had all these suicide notes, they should be looking up like, I don't know, bank statements. Did he recently take out an insurance policy on her? Like, those are big key indicators. Instead of like, you know, just putting the sticker of like suicide on it, you know?
Yep. There's a lot of media coverage on it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the parents have stated some stuff, some stories. Suicide or homicide with a question mark. CBS News have like all over it.
Yeah, I'd love to know if she was on any medication.
Yeah.
Was she seeing a therapist? Which you can't like relinquish details, but like, did she talk about slew or slide with anybody else?
You know You know what I'll do? I will look into it because I'm interested about this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put a whole book report.
Okay.
So when we come back to this, probably like what, January or February?
Sure.
Bada bing. We'll have some findings.
Okay. We'll report back.
Yeah.
Well, while you are on that deep dive, I have a very interesting true crime that technically doesn't follow under true crime, but it's kind of like a conspiracy theory, moonlighting as a possible true crime for those internet sleuths that love conspiracy theories and true crimes.
I love conspiracy theories.
Yeah, right? Like, they're fun. It's interesting to think about. I titled this document, The Garth Brooks Conspiracy Theory.
Garth Brooks?
Yeah, the country singer.
You mean the Thunder Rolls?
Yeah.
The Lightning Strikes? That guy?
Yeah. Why am I so excited? I need to calm down. Yes. Spooky. So, weirdly enough, this was originated by a comedian named Tom Segura.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I'm saying his last name.
Segura.
I'm making it sound fancy. So enjoy. And the joke was first made on his podcast called Your Mom's House. The podcast consisted of Tom and his wife, Christina Pakitsi, who also is a fellow comedian. The joke was that Garth had put out a tour announcement video and was giving off serial killer vibes. The episode and their claims went viral, just mainly as a joke, like it wasn't that deep. Mm-hmm. But on TikTok and Reddit, people started putting together tour dates and missing people reports as follows.
What?
Indianapolis in 1993, a young woman walks home from a bar just blocks away from Market Square Arena and disappears. Chicago, 1993. Three women disappear in an unrelated case the same week Brooks sold out a consecutive nights in a row at the Rosemont Horizon, which was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, 1993, cold case murder of a college kid. Their body was discovered in the Ohio River within 48 hours of Brooks's tour bus rolling out. Now, if you're paying attention to like the dates that I just read off, mm-hmm. I mean, this is 1993, you know, it's not new, not relevant, but I actually took a screen grab while I was on TikTok today of newer tour dates where people have gone missing.
Newer?
Yeah. So like within the last couple of years.
Oh my God.
Let me grab it. Pause for dramatic effect. Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun,
okay,
dun,
this
dun.
List is quite long. I'm gonna show it's a so I'm not gonna read all of them, but one of them is in 2019 in St. Louis. Shanti and Bryla went missing. In 2020 in Detroit, Jess Allen Steves gone, disappeared, poof, after his tour stop. In 2020 in the city of Charlotte, Brenda Lisseth Hernandez gone, disappeared. And another date in 2020 in Cincinnati, Rachel A. Allred, completely missing, gone.
Wow.
And the internet's pretty much taking this theory by storm.
Wow.
So much so that like it's like on TikTok and Reddit, you like can't escape it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The weird thing is though, is like that
every tour.
Yeah, every tour stop.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
What do you do in that moment?
There's over 1,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's over 1,000. I don't have the news source that quoted that, but there was a podcast that said it was over 1,000. And the weird part is that there's not an exact person who made this list or this map.
Mm-hmm.
It basically, like what people have been saying is that it started with Tom. Like mm-hmm. he made the joke on his podcast.
Right.
And there's multiple sources that said Tom hired researchers to like look this all up, to like find all the things, to make the red string, to like draw up the map. But like Tom himself I haven't seen a clip of him saying this at all. Like, I really looked earlier to see, like, did he really hire researchers? And we have to keep in mind that Tom is a comedian.
Right.
So
he's one of those comedians too, because I've seen some of his stuff. Dry humor.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm telling you a joke and I'm not even like gonna laugh, but this is how it is. And it's kind of like, so yeah, yeah. Some people could probably take it for face value and be like, he's right.
Which is why I don't think he came up with the list. Like, right. People saying that he hired researchers, I think that was a joke, but I think people on TikTok and Reddit took his initial joke and ran with it and are finding these weird coincidences.
Damn. Jesus.
So, just for the record, this is all alleged. Please don't sue us. It's primarily a joke. But it was really hard to find information on this, like trying to figure out like who was the first person to look up all the tour stops and find all this information. It was insanely hard to find. And a lot of articles, like big news articles, won't take any of this seriously. They use a lot of words that mock TikTok and Reddit sleuthers is what they call them, or like true crime addicts. They kind of poke fun at people, like even giving this theory like a thought of truth.
That's kind of sad, because what if it is true and people are just like, this, it's a coincidence. That's all it is. But I'm like, every place. I mean, yeah, they say statistically somebody's dying like every second, something goes missing, you know, blah, 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 every day. But that's kind of.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Like, it's a little too coincidental.
And it's almost too much of a perfect murder if you think about it, because it's like, it's Garth Brooks. But what if it is?
Just wait. There's more.
Or somebody on his team.
It's getting spicier. So like Reddit sleuthers, TikTokers, instead of like letting this bother them, they just keep finding more dates and more people going missing. So this list is consistently growing as he keeps going on tour. And my theory as to why I think it's hard to find, like, who was the first person to like look up the tours and look up the dates, or like for any big information on this. And my theory is because he's incredibly famous. He's got to have a huge team that's like scrubbing the internet of whatever they can, of any misinformation, people taking it a little too far.
I just looked it up right now, and it's he did it on Joe Rogan's podcast.
So he didn't. Yeah. He denied going on Joe's.
Oh, wait, hold on.
It's Joe Rogan talking about it.
It's Joe Rogan talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But think about it. Like, I mean, like, hear me out. He's known as one of the top selling solo artists of all time, if you're counting album sales. So like sources at like CBS News and Sweet Hop, like they'll back up those claims of him being the number one, or like one of the number one sold artists. Mm-hmm. But if you just do like a generic search that's like top selling artists of all time, you'll see like huge iconic names like Bob Marley, Elvis Presley, BTS even, Coldplay. Mm-hmm. And then like Garth Brooks is like in that list amongst all these other people, which is scary, because he might be a murderer.
You know what? I can see it. I'm not saying anything bad about country people, country singers, but you never know, man.
Yeah. Okay,
now I gotta do like a deep dive on all of his songs and lyrics.
Yep. But it's coming. Ooh. Don't worry. Well, I didn't go as far into the lyrics as I would have liked to, because there's another part of this story that makes it even weirder.
Wait, so, did he come up with I Got Friends in Low Places?
Mm-hmm.
That's his song?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's so many.
In lower places with the whiskey.
And like, he's got iconic songs, so it makes sense that he's like selling well, but I don't know. I don't know.
What if the Thunder Rolls is like his hammer?
Thunder Rolls, there's some theory on that song abuse.
See, I don't. Yeah, that's right. He starts out with like 3:30 in the morning, had a soul inside.
Yeah.
That's just like his popular one. And that one of his tours, he puts Elements into the whole stage.
Oh, cool.
He makes it rain and make it thunder and lightning on stage while that song's going on.
That's cool.
That's the only song I know him.
He got the money for it.
By popular.
But even though it's like kind of silly to think about, like him being a murderer, like kind of silly, haha, hehe, allegations. These aren't, we don't have any proof. We have no proof. So this is just us, you know, bringing up a theory. But the memes won't stop.
People even bring signs to his concert that say, like, we love Garth Brooks. And as soon as they show it on the Jumbotron, they'll switch it to another, like, they'll have like another sign hidden behind it, and it will say, where are the bodies, Garth?
Oh my.
So people are really like falling down the rabbit hole with it. Memes are funny and all, but let's go back in time for a second and let's visit Garth Brooks before he was famous, because maybe we'll find something that like really shines some light on this.
Mm-hmm.
When Brooks went to college in Oklahoma, weirdly enough, a young woman was found unalive nearby the school he went to. While he was attending it. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, crime, it happens in our neighborhood. We all have the Citizen app. Like, it's not that big of a deal, right? Just happens to be near you. But then when he worked in Nashville, multiple disappearances started happening near the boot barn where he worked at. Which, again, like, coincidence, right?
Wow. Right? Is he married?
Right. Well, he was at one point, like, later on, but not at this point, I don't think. Because he was, like, kind of broke at this point.
Yeah.
That's why he's working at, like, Boot Barn, you know?
Boot Barn, Jesus.
Yeah. But, wow. You know, add those two weird coincidences up with all the tour stops, it, like, kind of starts to look a little weird.
Yep.
But after he, you know, started getting famous, like, he was broke at the time, but then like really made it big. He was living out of apartments, like really cheap ones, going from place to place. Makes it big. He gets his first check for $500,000. What does he do with it? You know, like, you're broke. What would you do? You know, buy a fancy car, maybe buy a big apartment, buy a boat, you know, like, improve your life, right?
Right.
He buys land, like a big chunk of land. Do you want to know how many acres of land he bought?
Oh my God, how many?
It's anywhere between 20 and 30 acres of land just outside of Nashville. Just a big, spent his entire check on a big slab of land. Like, not a house.
Yeah.
Spent the whole check, his first big check on that. And do you know what happened when he bought this land? People just started going missing in that area. So weird, right?
Oh my God, there's no like weird property on there, and he hasn't built anything on top of it, or
he did eventually, but like,
yeah,
bought a big hunk of piece of land. People start going missing.
I would love to get a drone and one of those like sonar ground penetrating thing majiggers that they do.
Yeah.
And just
like
fly it over and see if there's anything like, you know.
You know, just check out the quality of the soil, you know? Yeah. We're not looking for bodies.
Wow.
Allegedly, this is all legend. you know, just other, these are coincidences, right? Like the people going missing at the college, the boot barn, and then people going missing when he buys the land, like whatever.
Buys acres and geez.
Right? Look, you know, let's pick it back up to when he's famous, you know?
Okay.
He's got the land, he builds the mansion on top of it, whatever. He's doing these constant like TV appearances. And people have made compilations now of all the weird things he said on air that people rewatch to this day and are kind of like, what the hell? There was one, he was on like some talk show and the host was like, you should totally be an actor. You could play like a cowboy in like the, you know, old West movies. Like, it'll be really cool. And he was like, you'd make a really good guy in it, right? And Garth was kind of like, nah, I want to play the bad guy. And the host kind of like gave him some grief being like, come on, you make a good guy. And Garth said, and I quote, okay, I guess I'd rather kill somebody. It'd be fun. And everybody in the audience laughs it off.
Of course.
Cool.
Oh my God.
Coincidences. You know, sometimes we misspeak, right?
Yeah.
But then he did this other thing in the 90s. And I'm surprised you didn't bring this up. I kind of thought you would, you know, bring this big thing up. Mm-hmm. He decided to completely switch his music style in the 90s. He decided to go by a person named Chris Gaines in 1999.
What?
And it's a fictitious persona of an Australian rock star that he created and even had a special a special on TV called The Real Life of Chris Gaines. And it came out on NBC where he would only be Chris Gaines in this thing. Like, he would only say, like, he was not Garth Brooks. He was Chris Gaines.
What the? I don't even remember that. 1999, you said?
Yeah. And it was like a big part of like, Like, people were shocked by this because he was, like, already famous. He was a well-known country singer. And, I mean, he's doing what modern-day pop stars and, like, singer-songwriters do now. Like, Taylor Swift, you know, she's got a bunch of albums where she tries a different genre of music. Okay. So it's not, like, abnormal. But he decided that he wanted to be a completely different person. And what he did with this is that in 1996, so before he came out and did this special, he had hired a young actor to play this Chris Gaines character that he later on was going to transition into being. So hear me out. 1996, mm-hmm. He goes, I'm going to create this character that I'm going to become later on. You young, handsome looking actor, I'm going to hire you to do this and start this persona of this character, and then eventually I will become it. And Garth Brooks did all this, he later on says, so that he could transition into being an actor. And he was going to produce like five to six albums and star in a film that he writes and like directs and produces called The Land, where Garth Brooks, who was himself, would get murdered and fans would go on a murder mystery like movie to figure out what happened to their beloved Garth Brooks. And he wanted this young actor as Chris Gaines to like be one of the, you know, like be the new triumphant celebrity, right, to help like solve the mystery. And they would use flashbacks of Garth Brooks in the film.
What?
And the reason this didn't go to fruition, like the fans seemed on board, they were all excited, but
the actor disappeared.
The actor started acting up.
Shut the front door.
He, from what I've read, which again, I don't know how accurate this is, but I thought it was interesting. So the actor he hired started getting distracted and would fall victim to addictions that we will be calling schmexual relations. Which, you know, he got addicted to schmecks. And basically the party ended really quickly for this actor he hired because he got into a serious car accident in 1992. So if you're looking at the timeline, it's like hires the actor, right? Hires the actor to play him, starts this whole fake persona, starts writing this movie. Mm-hmm. While he's still like Garth Brooks, actor gets into this big car accident. Then Garth Brooks in 1999 does that big, you know, televised event where he's now like, I'm Chris Gaines now. He then decides, like, while this young man who was hired to be him is like in the hospital having facial reconstruction surgery, Garth Brooks comes out and is like, nope, it's me now. So he just like dyes his hair, becomes that character. And that's how he explains how he doesn't look like the young actor. So, he's quoted saying on a video, you live with your face for 25 years and then have to have it totally reshaped. It's not an easy thing to get along with.
Oh my God.
So the reason I bring all this up, which I know it's really confusing in the way that I wrote it, terribly sorry, dyslexic, but the reason I bring up this whole weird era of him rebranding himself is because people will write in comment sections about this whole thing. It's like, you know, like the whole true crime, you know, window of it all is that Garth Brooks, they all say, would never actually murder anyone, but Chris Gaines would. So people think he uses this persona he created to be the killer and kill all these people and have them all disappear. And that's his like out.
Wow.
For, you know, like it's his escapism or his way of getting away with it so he can still be Garth Brooks on stage.
Chris,
well beloved.
Gaines. I'm looking at this right now.
Isn't it wild?
See the difference.
Yeah. Like, look at that young actor man he hired. Isn't that wild? It's crazy.
Wow, dude. That is creepy. See, now I'm like, it makes a lot of sense. If it's still going, is this still going on? Like, so the latest ones are 2019 and whatnot?
I think that's the most up to date.
Most up to date?
I think 2020 was one of the dates I read. Let me double check that.
I mean, when you're that famous and popular, this is why some people get away with stupid shit, like the whole Puff Daddy thing. It's been going on for so long, these parties, and now like everyone's getting busted, like Weinstein's and stuff like that, that it's all coming out to out to the light. Mm-hmm. Even Michael Jackson would like put on prosthetics to go out in public, to go to Disneyland, to look like an old man or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Knoxville used to do that, but it was for fun in his movies. Bad Grandpa or something like that, or some other movies like that. He'd put on prosthetics and go out there. He started a whole new trend of celebrities pretending they're not them, like basketball players. Dress up like old men and go out in the field and play basketball with a bunch of younger people. Okay, like, oh, this old man. So it's like fooling people. But then you look into it and you see other people like Michael Jackson that can't go anywhere. Will do that just to go out and be in public, especially in Disneyland.
Yeah.
With all the child accusations and whatnot. So I feel like Garth Brooks trying to hire this young man to be this new person, later on taking on this persona.
Yeah.
He was halfway there of doing something crazy that he probably foreseen in his deranged mind. I would have put it past him if he did. Like, if they found bodies on his ranch later on, I just wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I personally, like, when I was starting to look into this, I actually, like, told Chrissy about it because I was like, oh, I bet you've heard of this one. And she said, no, and I was kind of reading it to her, and we both were like laughing and joking about it because, like, ooh, yeah, like, yeah. But then as I kept reading more and more, like, things he would say on TV, and like literally everything that I read to you, part of me wonders if it has nothing to do with Garth Brooks, but I wonder if it's somebody on his crew. Yeah. Like, what if it's one of his roadies?
Yeah,
because, like, just because it's his tour stops. I mean, a lot of these big celebrities like Taylor Swift and Beyonce, they have hundreds of people that they are employed under them to, like, set everything up. Light technicians, dancers, costumers. Yeah. So it's like, it might not even be him.
Any development on that one rapper guy with that body found in the Tesla?
Oh.
It's his car, but he was out, like, somewhere. His alibi checks out. It was like, what is the body doing in the car or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen anything.
That kind of sounds like the same thing. It's like, it's not him, but it's somebody on the team. Mm-hmm. And it could be very well somebody on the team, or it could be somebody that, I don't know. There's some people that have power and they get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, people in high power that get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, people like demolishing historical artifacts.
You know, yeah.
Historical buildings and stuff like that. I'm just like, if nobody, I mean, I feel like in the 90s, I don't know much about Garth Brooks besides what happened in the 90s, how he blew up.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I figure, like, people in the 90s, actors, celebrities, and also like that, they had that, whoever they roll with, they're protected.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The Illuminati. We could do an episode on that. I literally know nothing about the Illuminati.
I was hired for a birthday party. It was called a funeral, which is kind of funny. I was like, okay. A funeral birthday party.
Funeral for your youth.
Yeah, well, yeah, she was saying goodbye to her 30s. It was in an old Masonic Mason temple. The building got converted into, like, beautiful condos, like lofts. Really expensive. This is out in Long Beach. And in the lobby, when you walk in, it's just all old school. It has, like, the pillars, has these things, has these symbols and sigils on the floor, like the pentagram and the all kinds of weird stuff. Oh. It was, like, all masonry stuff. And I'm like, it was kind of creepy. I took somebody pictures died. And videos. No, it looked like a mausoleum or something like that, or some kind of place, like Eyes Wide Shut kind of thing. I took pictures and videos of it, and I was like, this is kind of creepy and kind of cool. I would love to do something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we will definitely do a lot more spooky conspiracy theories and more, like, true crime going forward. Cause so many people do like and listen to those episodes, even though it's, like, literally just me.
Yeah.
But I have been wanting to open it up for, like, you and me. Chrissy obviously is a big fan of it. And just you know, any guest that wants to come on and, like, read a story that, like, they are interested in, that could be kind of fun because, you know, it's spooky to scare each other a little bit, you know?
True, especially for the holidays, man.
There's
nothing more scary than a jolly old fat man coming down your chimney at night putting toys in.
Breaking in, you know? Yeah. What a present.
Yep.
We love it here. Speaking of jolly times and presents, we're going to go over to Patreon and we're going to tell you all a weird list of things we want for Christmas.
Things we want for Christmas.
You know, there's really no tie into why. I just think it'd be really interesting for us to be like, what are some things if endless money could fall into our lap? What would we buy ourselves on Black Friday?
Peace on earth.
Yeah. We love it. But thank you so much for joining us for this exciting true crime episode. I really enjoyed doing the research on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to look definitely on the Greenberg thing. I found out later, I did a little bit of reading. She was a teacher.
Okay.
So nothing like too like crazy.
Not making a lot of money.
So I'm going to look into, we'll do some research.
Insurance policies. That's what you should look up.
Yeah.
Insurance I bet policy. He took out a big insurance policy on her.
Yeah. And then I'm going to look into the police department of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The uncle and everything.
We're going to solve these true crimes. Well, Garth Brooks, we're coming for you. Just kidding. We're totally not. Don't sue us, please. You brought up Joe Rogan. Yeah. That was like a big episode that kept coming up that people keep were talking about. Because Joe was trying to get him to like, bro, just say you didn't do all this stuff. Right. And like, he refuses to talk about it. Wow. So I don't know, fam. On that note, where can everybody find you on social media, Cosmo?
Oh, you can find me on the Cosmo Network on YouTube. Season 2 is kicking. It's awesome for the Cosmo Show. And then also on the Instagram, the Cosmo Show. And then TikTok, the Cosmo Show. So
amazing.
Yeah.
You all know where to find me. But if you're watching / listening to this, what would be the best Christmas gift would be if you joined us on Patreon. So look us up. It's like www.patreon.com/DeLuluCanoePod. So come join us over there. We've got some free episodes up. I think we have 3 currently. We've got Morgana. We've got a grief episode. Mm. There was another free one. So even if you can't afford this month, join anyways, because it's nice to have a bulletin board to talk to you all and just keep you guys updated on stuff.
So, you know what I love about Patreon is that we just like, there's no censor and we just go crazy with it.
We get to cuss
and then get deeper into things that, you know, YouTube won't allow. But yeah.
But anyways, we'll see you guys on over there. Stay DeLulu, everybody, because it's the Salulu. Bye.